It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny. We are brought to you by the law firm Kondorian Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Adam Peters spoke today. There's a lot to get into from his press conference. Eventually, I want to settle on a discussion on the draft picks that he has traded and what their philosophy really is. But a few things we have not hit on that I think are notable. He did talk about Terry McLaurin today. This will be cut 8. McLaurin, as most of you know, is due for another extension. It's funny how quickly that happened.
Isn't that amazing?
Time going quickly? Is that what you're... Or,
well, it just feels like a couple minutes ago, I was going, I think, and by the way, they were right, I was wrong. I'm going, they're waiting so long. What are they doing? They're botching this. I don't know what Ron Rivera and company are doing. And they got it done. McLaurin came in at the right amount. It just seems like a year ago we were doing that.
His cap hits $25.5 million this year, which is about 9% of their salary cap. But he's going into a contract year. So if the season starts and he hasn't been extended, he's almost certainly hitting free agency. I don't think that's going to happen. I would bet just about anything that they get an extension in place with him, by the way, and it'll be a 3 or 4 year extension or whatever. He's 30 years old, and he's going to be on the team for the next 2-3 seasons, and he'll end a Commander. That's my guess. But I would say on a 1 to 10 scale, I would be 10 being the most shocked, 1 being... the opposite, I would say I'd be a 9 out of 10 if they don't get an extension done with him before the start of the year. I'm almost positive they do.
It feels like the vibes are very, very good.
How could they not? Why wouldn't they?
Like, if the time for McLaurin to have bailed would have been, hey, the writing's on the wall.
Exactly.
This Rivera thing is a disaster. That's a no from me. I can't wait to get out of here.
You army now, crawled through the 500 feet of feces.
You're in Zay Wataneo now, man. You and Red are running your boating company, dude. Like, now's the time.
I'm with you. It's happening. But this was the question to Peters and his answer on getting an extension done with Terry.
Short answer is we want to make Terry Commander for a long time. He's a great commander. He got better and better as the season went on, not only as a player but as a leader. It was really impressive to see him grow so much. When you think of Terry as this pristine, polished player, but then he got even better, so it's really cool. Everybody can get better, even the great ones. So but we've had talks with Terry's representation, and I think just like any talks we'll have, those will stay in the house. But it's been really positive.
Good sign. I mean, positive means they're working in the right direction. McLaurin had only caught more than five touchdowns once, and it was as a rookie, and he had 13 to set a franchise record this year. Peter's saying he got better. We have seen Terry at his peak, I would say, be better than he was last season in terms of explosivity, you know, vertical, playmaking, his average per catch. We've seen as high as 15.8, 15.5 this past year, was a little over 13. But it was 82 catches, which was the second highest total of his career, for almost 1,100 yards. It was the third highest receiving total of his career as well. So hard to argue with the results. It's a matter of time.
113 yards short of Bobby Mitchell for fifth all-time in franchise history. About 1,500 yards behind Santana Moss for fourth. You're talking about two, three, four seasons.
Well that's... Hold on. Let's see. So 1,500 yards, he will surpass Santana for fourth probably in September of next year. So not this coming season, but next season.
Yeah.
Assuming he signs an extension. So then who else is in front of him and how many yards?
Gary Clark, 8,700. So that's 2,400 yards, give or take, behind. Charlie Taylor, 9,100 yards. So that's now, you know, whatever the math turns out to.
Almost
3,000. And then the great Art Monk, just over 12,000 yards. So he's about halfway there.
He is not catching Art Monk. I think there's a very good chance if he signs a three-year extension, he could be the number two receiver all time, though. He could surpass.
He could do that.
Everybody not name Monk.
You're just under 3,000 yards shy of Charlie Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
That's very accessible.
That's three seasons.
Yeah.
And I'm saying at 30, probably plays at least that, if not four. Now, it also stands to reason that at 33, maybe he doesn't go for 1,100. Like, he falls off at some point. But, yeah, he could be the number two all-time leading receiver in the history of the organization, and he hangs up the cleats. But needs an extension to do that. I think it'll happen probably right before training camp, if I had to guess.
Feels right to me. Feels like one of those, okay, now everyone's assembled. We're all getting ready to start our business. He'll be there for the offseason program. You're part of this thing. Everybody wants to be taken care of. And that's one of those, hey, what a nice positive announcement. What a great way to start training camp kind of things.
One of the big developments of the offseason for Washington's player movement was the aggressiveness on the defensive line. Made a lot of changes, right? John Allen out. They bring in Javon Kinlaw. Took some heat for that. He's slimming down for the role that they're going to ask him to play defensively, which Adam Peters talked about, just the body type and how they envision using him a little bit.
Yeah, he's have you seen him in person?
Yeah, he's a monster.
He's a monster. Like, yeah. The Zoom, like, doesn't it? Like, he's unbelievable. You might have seen him, I don't know, if you went to the joint practices against the Jets last year, and he was probably the heaviest I've seen him there. But he can look like he can be 350 and be chiseled. Like, he's a freak. Like, it's unbelievable. But I've seen him when he's as low as 275 in San Francisco and then as high as 330-plus last year with the Jets. So he can play at any position or any weight, excuse me. He played a lot last year. It was really impressive to see how much he played 60% of the snaps at that weight, which is really impressive. But, you know, if he loses 10 or 15 pounds, you know, if that makes him feel better, he's still going to be just as effective. He's still a monster.
He clearly really, really likes Kinlaw. We knew that already because he brought in a guy that was with him in his previous organization that he knows personally and helped draft. So we already knew that there was a rapport there. But just hearing him talk, that's about as open as Adam Peters gets. I mean, he's given a legitimate answer, talking about the dude's body type.
You hear the kind of enthusiasm in his voice about it, too. And you know, you're not going to be like, it's kind of a bum. I mean, you wouldn't do that. But even still, there's an extra layer of... He's sort of drooling over the traits. That's kind of like the scouts take over somebody, right? Where you watch him play and you go, I know you're not seeing much production and there aren't many numbers in his column on Pro Football Reference, but the traits, like, oh, he's a monster, he's huge, he's this, he can. So you could sort of, he's clearly dreaming on still the potential of a guy that hasn't really done it at a high level.
Well, that's kind of what I like about it, though, is he is out there on this one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who have watched this guy for a long time. And by the way, I would just say the numbers for what they're worth, although Adam Peters might push back and talk about scouting in his eyeballs or whatever. But the numbers and a lot of the people that watch him have one story on him, which is different than seemingly what Adam Peters thinks, which is that this guy is a real impact player. And I don't know that he has been in his career, but they need him to be based on what they paid him. A lot of people thought it was an overpay. But what about the state of the D-line in general? He's not the only addition they made.
Yeah.
They've gotten busy there. It's a huge turnover, and they still lack edges. I mean, other than Dorrance Armstrong, they have a huge need for a defensive end that can get after the quarterback. This is what Peters had to say about the D-line moves.
Feel really good with the guys that we brought in, the guys that were here, that you're going to have a second year in this system. So, You know, we brought in Wise, who's a big physical defensive end. We brought in Eddie Goldman, physical defensive tackle, and then the big one was Kinlaw. And Kinlaw is a tone setter. He's explosive. He's physical. He can line up across the line, and we think he's going to be a great commander. And he wanted to be here. We wanted him to be here. He's from D.C., so there's a lot of extra incentive for that. So they're like kind of the bigger guys that we brought in. We brought in Jacob Martin, who's going to be able to rush the passer and do a line a lot of different ways. And then with the guys that we have in there, they'll be a second year in the system. So we feel like we have really good depth, really good competition. And, you know, but also the optionality, if we do want to add for the draft, we can do that too.
So he could say all of those things. They still need a defensive end.
They need someone to rush the passer from the edge spot.
Yeah, right now, your edge on the first snap of the season opposite Dorrance Armstrong is like Cleland Farrell or Dietrich Wise,
probably, yeah. Let me say this.
Go, please. That was even more obvious how much they like Kinlaw.
Yeah.
Playing that cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because he kind of goes through everything. We got Wise, he's big. We got Goldman, he's huge. We got this. And then he talks about Kinlaw again. He's aggressive. He's this. He went on for 20 seconds again. I mean, you just cannot convince me. Adam Peters is not sold that Javon Kinlaw is so much better than everybody thinks.
Yeah, he is Team Kinlaw. There is such a thing. So you're still looking at it, and I think this could be one of those where I don't have the vision yet of what they see. In other words, you could have this sort of early down, we are a run-stuffing defensive line with four guys that are there meant to hold the point of attack. And if you want to throw on us, you probably are going to get away with it, right, on first down. And then when it comes to be third down, maybe Dietrich Wise trots off the field, and you've got Newton, Payne, Kinlaw, and Dorrance Armstrong, and maybe Luvu's lining up as kind of like a standing edge, or we're sort of flexible that way. We're going to create with packages and movement less so than one guy who can go beat his tackle. I don't love that, but I think maybe I wonder if that's kind of how they envision pressure right now, right? Well,
they can't line up and get pressure. You can't line up with Cleland Farrell at defensive end and get pressure, or Wise for that matter, who I like, but that's not his game at this point of his career. So they have to. It's going to have to be scheme. It's going to have to be drawing stuff up in the dirt. It's going to have to be moving Frankie Luvu all over the place. That's the only way you would be able to do it. Bring in corners or safeties or, you know, dialing up blitzes. But this is my point. There's a happy medium here where I'm not saying when you draft an edge, if you do that at 29, that all your problems are fixed, because that's not the case. Late in the first round, taking a defensive end, normally you're getting a guy who might have 4.5, 5 sacks this year or whatever. Hopefully you guess right, and over a couple of years they can become something. But at least you have another pass rusher with a move or another guy that can win. Right now, this moment, who is their best pass rusher outside of Frankie Luvu?
Armstrong?
Who's an off-ball linebacker. Dorrance Armstrong, who's okay.
Yeah.
He had a good finish to the year, but for the first two-thirds or so of the season, I would say, He's
solid, if not unspectacular.
Very average.
Yeah, he's very fun.
I don't want that. I mean, I want him. I could have him as my second end. He's probably, honestly, a perfect third defensive end in like a great rotation.
Which is what he was in Dallas.
Yeah. If you want to have a really good defense, like Dallas did top five when he was their third defensive end, that's probably about what you want. But you need your Micah Parsons, right? You want DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, you need those guys, and that's who they do not have at this point. So I'm not knocking the construction. I think he's right when he talks about depth. But they have quantity. They do not have quality, especially at the defensive end position. So you can name all the guys. We got this guy, Jacob Martin. He's big. He may or may not make the team. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you have a lot of players that you have brought in here, but not a whole lot of them make a ton of money, and not a whole lot of them are players that I would bank on putting up a whole lot of productivity. I like Wise some.
Yeah.
He obviously loves Kinlaw. I will take his word on Javon Kinlaw. That didn't make a lot of sense to me for what they did in terms of the money, but I'm never going to argue with trying to make your team better and throwing money at a problem. But that was maybe my biggest takeaway of his avail today, was he wanted to send the message, my name's Adam Peters, Javon Kinlaw's awesome, and I endorse this message.
Yeah, we have a couple headliners, Laramie Tunsil and Debo Samuel on offense, and our third headliner is Javon Kinlaw. Right now, he's a headline to me for different reasons, where you're going, hey, you're being a guy that hasn't done what you think he's going to do, but in their minds, like, that was the big ticket item, right? There are three big ticket items this offseason, and that's the third of three.
We're working our way through Adam Peters' press conference and some of the things he had to say to the media today at the owners' meetings. How about Laramie Tunsil, cut four here? The new left tackle who comes over from the Houston Texans. Tunsil to Washington on a trade where Peters had to give up picks. He discussed how it came about.
those guys don't come on the market very often, right? Left tackles in free agency or any time, really. And picking 29, it's not like you're picking in top five and it's a sure thing or as close to a sure thing as you can get. So when you have an opportunity like that, and we really wanted to bolster the offensive line, and he's, you know, in our opinion, one of the best. You know, you can say he's top three, top, you know, two in pass protection. I think he's underrated as a run blocker too. And understanding too, we have people in that building that really vouch for him as a person. So we knew he'd fit in with our team, with our locker room, within that O-line room. And early returns show like he's been great. When he came out here, he's connected with a lot of our guys, and I think he's going to be a great addition. So, you know, those opportunities are rare. So we thought it was the right to pounce on it.
I got a tweet from a listener earlier when we were talking about the Laremy Tunsil trade, who said, would they have made that trade if Jaden Daniels wasn't their quarterback and he wasn't going into year two? How much of this is about protecting the kid and keeping him healthy? I think it's a great question. I obviously don't know the answer, but I would imagine you make the deal either way. I don't think you make the deal if you have, you know, Taylor Heinicke or a bridge quarterback at this point, because you're not ready to win anyway. But if you have a veteran quarterback that you like that you've paid, if you're any type of contender, left tackle's too important a position. Guys like Laremy Tunsil, as Peter said, just aren't available. So when they are, you got to scoop it. It's like going to the store, Danny, and seeing a thing that's never there.
Oh, they never have this, and you get it.
And you just grab it, and someone's like, well, we already have eggs at home. Or we already have them. We've got dinners for this week. Doesn't matter. I won't be able to get this. I'm grabbing it.
Yeah, I'd even go further than you just did and say, I don't. If Jaden Daniels didn't exist and it was name that bridge, I still think you do this. Because like they've gotten away with it at left tackle for a few years.
I don't think you'd give up the picks, but that's probably not worth arguing about right now. But sure, I mean, they could, because it's Laremy Tunsil.
Because to me, they're going, we've got the previous regime got lucky as hell that Charles Leno got cut. And he was adequate to even plus at times for us. That was not a plan that they had. They did not know that dude was getting cut. There's no way you'll convince me. So they've gotten away with it, and we can't try to get away with this anymore, regardless of who our quarterback is. We have to upgrade at that spot. I think you'd spend some of those mid-round picks, but that's either here or there, kind of to your point. The fact that you have Jaden Daniels makes that all that much more premium. I mean, it seemed to me to be an essential part of this offseason.
Well, he did speak about roster construction with a rookie quarterback. Here's what Peter said today about that.
It's interesting because I've seen it happen where teams have to pay their quarterback eventually, and then you have to make some decisions that you don't necessarily have to make right now. And so to be able, you know, we do have the flexibility right now to get some higher priced players around him. So that is a good thing. Eventually we're going to have to pay Jaden, and I think we'll be really excited to pay Jaden when that comes. But I mean, I don't know if Josh will, but so yeah, maximizing that. But I mean, it's just the same. Like, we're just trying to make our team as good as possible all the time. And so that does give us more flexibility. But, you know, knowing that eventually at some point that'll come to an end.
It's a good line. I bet you Josh will be okay paying him. That's a butts in seats guy there.
Yeah.
He's going to help that business of yours just a little bit. One of the big stories of this offseason, again, has been all the one-year deals that they've signed players to. Is this a Peters thing? Is this what they've got to do because they weren't left with enough talent?
I think it's that.
I do too, but, I mean, it's two off seasons. It's his only time we've ever seen him run a team. And it's not just that they've done it and majored in it. It's all they do, yeah, seemingly, is sign veterans to one-year deals. I mean, had probably 80% of their free agents since he got here, clip or so. And this is what he said about that paradigm.
I think that's just kind of how the market is, too, a little bit of that also. We do have a lot of flexibility in the future because of that, like what you're saying. Like, we're not tied to a ton of players in 26, 27, and so not a ton of guarantees that are out there down the line. But, you know, just building this team, and like you said, we try to build through the draft, and that's you know, going to be a real big focus here. But you know, you only have opportunities if a player wants a 1 year deal, then you know you can't give him a 2 year deal, and a lot of the players that we have, we're kind of in that mindset, and so the guys that we were able to sign the longer term deals, we're happy to do that. But this does provide us optionality and flexibility. But ultimately, you know, like I've said, and obviously, you know, you can argue with that, and I understand that argument, but it's, you know, you get the guys that are under 3 or 4 year contracts, essentially that helps build the foundation of your team, and that's where we want to get to.
See, I think he likes it this way. I mean, when he talks about the versatility we have, we don't have guaranteed money, mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of money to worry about on the books in 26 and 27. It might be both. In fact, I'm quite sure to some extent it's both. But I do think that he enjoys this part of roster building a little bit, where I'm not worried about 2 years from now, especially with Jaden Daniels as the sun in the solar system, so to speak. We can rearrange the deck chairs constantly. As long as we still have the couch in the middle of the living room that everybody wants to sit on, whatever we're doing with our little side chairs and side tables, it's going to be okay.
And that's the sense I've got. I think this approach that also, by the way, includes trading some of these draft picks away, that's included the way they've gone about it, is a direct, we got in here, and we're like, okay, we just bought the place. Let's see what we got. Oh, my God, there's mold everywhere. We can't do anything. We didn't inherit good bones either. Like, we've got to do a total reno, and I'd love to fix every room. I'd love to fix everything at all times with a bunch of young pieces. There's nothing here. They don't have a first-round pick on their team from the previous regime. I don't name a team where that's ever happened in the history of this game, right? Like, a new regime takes over. They go, well, at least we got Forbes, or at least we got Davis, or at least we got somebody. Most of the second rounders are gone too. It is such a giant disaster in that regard of young talent passed down that I think this is what they've had to do just to be competent, just to be mildly competitive, that they're trying to instill.
Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. I want to get into what Adam Peters said about trading for Deebo Samuel. And speaking of trading for a veteran, what he said about moving draft picks, even though his philosophy is to build through the draft. Question for you guys. We'll open up the phones on this next at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Can you be okay with claiming that this is a draft-first organization, but trading as many picks as they have if that becomes the norm around here? You're listening to The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
A rare day in the offseason where we hear from the highest-ranking executive running the Commanders, General Manager Adam Peters. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30, about an hour to go. Nats baseball tonight here on your flagship home for the Nats. Deebo Samuel is a Commander. Before we get to the draft philosophy of Adam Peters, I want to hear what he had to say about Deebo. Obviously, he was with him in San Francisco, was there when they drafted him, knows him very well, and then went and got him. He talked about bringing Deebo Samuel in and why he thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, well, obviously, I know Deebo really well. We drafted him. We were actually coached him at the Senior Bowl, so I got to know him there pretty well, too. So I know a lot about him, know what kind of competitor he is, what kind of playmaker he is. I've seen firsthand like him take over games, and it's really infectious throughout the team, too. And just a great person, great human. Like, they came in, his whole family came in when we signed him, and they're on their way to Disneyland, so they're the big old crew. They're ready to go to Orlando, but just what he can do for our team, you know, being a playmaker with the ball in his hands, he's very versatile, and he's a great teammate, you know, so he really kind of opens up our offense with when you have him and Terry at receiver, and obviously we have a bunch of other guys too, but being able to get a playmaker like that and understanding that it wasn't a huge cost for us made it something enticing.
The last part there is key. You gave up a five. It's what mm-hmm. I've been saying all along.
That's right.
Worst case scenario, it's a one-year deal. Deebo is washed. He gave up a five. Who cares? It's well worth the opportunity that he could be good. But here's my follow-up question, if I had one. He gave the answer for if you got Deebo 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like he's like, you guys, you've seen it. He takes over games. He's invigorating in the locker room. I've seen him completely change games on screen passes, and he breaks tackles and turns it upfield. The narrative, and maybe it's not right, but out of San Francisco, the national perception right now is that this guy has declined, that he does not have that club in the bag to the same extent. And Adam Peters obviously did not acknowledge that, but what I would ask is, do you have any concern about that? Uh-huh. And maybe that's a truth serum conversation in a boardroom where, you know, he's not going to say it publicly in a presser. But that would be really what I want to know. He gave you the breakdown on why Deebo Samuel became one of the great weapons of the National Football League over the last several years. And if Deebo is still the guy that he was in San Fran 2 years ago, they just stole him away. But a lot of people don't think he is. A lot of people look back to last year, 13 yards per catch, only 50 catches, only 650 or so yards, and they go, that was the beginning of the regression, only 3 yards a carry, mm-hmm. that he is a bigger-bodied guy who's taken on a lot of pain and contact and missed a lot of games and been sore a lot. And he's about to be 30 years old, and he wasn't in shape. And I would want to know what Peters thinks about that narrative.
So what it reminds me an awful lot, honestly, of the narrative on Austin Eckler as he was aging in for the Chargers, where nothing went right the year that Austin Eckler had his final year in L.A. Nobody could run the ball effectively. Nobody did anything good. He was, you know, battling injuries, was nagging stuff, just didn't look explosive. So he's washed. No, he's not. Just he needed a new situation. And it reminds me of this here in terms of Deebo Samuel. And again, if we get what San Francisco got last year, that's already a win for a fifth-round player. That guy closing in on, you know, 800 total yards, give or take, 50 receptions, you know, averaging not an overwhelming amount, but still that's better than any number two receiver or playmaker or whatever. Those catches were going to Jamison Crowder and Alamna Zacchaeus last year. With all due respect, let Deebo Samuel have those, please, and thank you. I'm thrilled with that. I think that's the floor, and that's a pretty good floor. That's worth this whole exercise to me. The upside to me is you're on a guy with a guy that was on 60 yards per game pace last year, close to 1,000, or 2 years ago rather, close to 1,000 yards, could still run it effectively, still draws a ton of defensive attention, still makes things easy. The second and nine turns into a first and 10 with him catching a little screen pass or something and matriculating. Takes attention away from other guys, too, to make them easier, make their lives easier. To me, there's a lot of upside here.
No, but we've talked about that for months.
Sure.
Specific to today's news and Adam Peters, though, and like what he thinks about that narrative. Again, he's not going to acknowledge it, but I wonder what he does to determine whether Debo's got it. Because it's not like you're working that guy out. You're watching the tape. You're seeing the same performances that everybody else saw when they're telling you he doesn't really have
so
it.
So why is he sluggish? Because, because the pneumonia is overweight? Or is he sluggish because he actually can't move that quick anymore?
But he might also say, and again, truth serum style, he might say, hey, man, he was 14 pounds too heavy last year. We think he's going to be down 18 pounds this year. And he's going to have the speed and the twitch and the wiggle back. Like, I have no idea. He might also just say, he had a bad year. You're allowed to have a bad year. Mm-hmm. He will not have that bad of a year this year. But notice they didn't extend him.
No.
It's not like they brought him in here and gave him an extension. They actually, you know, did a weird thing where basically some of his money with escalators can be elevated and he can get some extra like guaranteed cash with a couple of things. And I saw people refer to it as an extension. It's not at all. An extension means you're adding time to his contract, which they have absolutely not done, which might be somewhat telling, I would say, but there's no reason to. Make him earn everything. This was Peters on Deebo Samuel as a fit offensively, something that, you know, I would say he would be a fit anywhere if he's right. Like, how could you not want to add just a Swiss Army knife? This is what Peters had to say.
Well, just everything he can do, really. You can put him in the backfield. You know, Cliff's a really creative guy, so it gives him another quote-unquote toy to play with, you know, in terms of where you can align him. You can line him wide. You can line him in the slot. You can align him in the backfield. And we do a lot of screen game. And so Debo's incredible in that, just catching and run, making plays with the ball in his hand. So we thought he was a really good fit for what we do.
That's what I'm most excited about.
Yep.
They do run a million screens. I'd have to look this up. I'll bet you they ran as many or more screens than any team in the league. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's middle name is spelled S-C-R-E-E-N, okay? Deebo Samuel in the screen game is the best. Now, I go back to, is he still the best? I don't know. But there was a several-year window where he was the best.
So if he's not the best, he's still pretty damn good. He's still better than what they had, right? I mean, and that's, to me, the key central point in all this, right? The one man's trash is another man's treasure. When your second receiver is ... Sure. Well, I don't know if he's a true number two, and I don't care. He is a weapon for an offense in dire need of those things. So, yeah, I wonder what, you know, deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, what they really think in terms of what he's going to be when he's here. I think if they loved him, you might have seen that extension, and we'd be kind of going, damn, I guess they're all in. But they didn't do that. It's this 1 year where they converted stuff to guarantee that you talked about. But it's an upside look-see for 1 year where if it doesn't work out, who cares?
This is a tire kick, bro.
Yeah.
You are lifting up the hood to see what's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works out that he plays really well, he's going to want to be here. Because as you said, you got Jaden Daniels. He's going to want to play with him. And if he plays really well and things go well here, you're going to be a back-to-back year playoff team who's got a chance to go win a Super Bowl in a year. Why wouldn't he want to be here? Let's go to Dez, who's in Waldorf. The question we've been asking Dez is about Adam Peters. He says that they're a draft-first team, but they keep trading their draft picks. Can both be true?
Yeah, both can be true. I feel like both of them are true. I mean, he did what he did last year, but you can't consistently every year be like, we're going to covet all of our draft picks. That's how you end up in situations with, like, the Cowboys, where you're paying all your premium players at the same time, and that's not smart. And the second thing, I was talking to Danny on here, like, probably two, 3 weeks ago when, Grant, I think he was sick, he had Toby on, and you guys agreed with me. I was telling y'all, like, the general consensus for this draft since 2023 was that this draft is trash. So you got to at least let this draft go past and wait until next draft for River to really see what's going on. Because at the end of the day, we got our premium players.
Well, there's always going to be great players available, even in bad drafts, right? Number one. But I do think your point has some merit in this sense. If this is a down draft, it's another reason why I don't have a big problem. If that's their evaluation, and I don't think they would have made some of these moves if they thought they could get everything done that they want to by standing mm-hmm. pat. But if you decide it's not a great draft, and we have to keep remembering, they're not picking fifth like they normally do.
Right.
They're not picking 8th or 9th or 12th or 14th. They're picking 29th in round one. Basically starting their draft at the beginning of the second round, almost. 29 is almost a second round pick, right? The end of the second round pick that they have in the 60s, basically a third round pick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So between that and it being a light draft, this is not the same as when you normally pack up your bags to go to draft night.
No, that's right, and it's an essential part of it. So, as you said it very well, of course you can find gems, diamonds in the rough, whatever you want to call it, in mid-round, second round, where somebody's going to outperform their draft position. We'll look back in 5 years and go, can you believe they didn't take this guy? That's everybody, that's time in memoriam. But the point is, you may not be as heartbroken about missing out on that second round pick or that third round pick in this given year, because you don't feel like, you know, it's not as strong as the middle class of the next draft or 2 years from now, et cetera, or for planning purposes. I mean, think about the NBA when this happens. It's great to win the lottery. It's much better to win the lottery when Victor Wembanyama's at the top of the board, not when Zachary Risacher is. You know what I mean?
Alex Ovechkin's chances of breaking Wayne Gretzky's record may have improved today without him playing a game. 5 goals from surpassing Gretzky, 9 games to go. We'll explain why his chances may have gotten better next, right here on The Fan. In 15 minutes at 6 o'clock, where do the Maryland Terrapins go for their next head coach? We will ask their radio analyst, Chris Nockey, when he stops by. Also, what does he make of how Kevin Willard handled the last 2 weeks? Should have been a splendid time and a celebratory time for his players. And instead, they ended up having to answer a lot of tough questions about their head coach. We'll get into that coming up at 6 o'clock with Nockey. But before we do that, Ovi scored over the weekend, Danny. Pulls to within one goal closer of Wayne Gretzky, so he needs four to tie, five to break the record. He's sitting at 890.
Unbelievable.
I mentioned that it got a little easier for him today to possibly break the record. Here's my logic. I think the Caps got better today. Ryan Leonard, the 20-year-old elite prospect from Boston College, signed a deal with the team. He got eliminated from college athletics last night. BC got knocked out of their tournament. So the NCAA leader in goals, 30. Game-winning goals, 9. Points, 49. In 37 games this year, is going straight to the NHL.
Pretty cool.
He will make the leap from college to the National Hockey League. I was told that the team expects him to make his debut in Boston tomorrow night against the Bruins. The first player in college hockey with back-to-back 30-goal seasons since Cam Atkinson did it back from 9 to 11 has turned into a really good NHL player. But this, whether he plays really well or not, it's hard, man. He probably is going to look like, honestly, a college kid trying to find his way in the NHL for a few games. I don't think this is going to be like 3 points and 2 goals in his first 2 games or something crazy. He's going to look like a dude who's a fish out of water for a little while. But he's got 9 games to figure it out before the playoffs to try to crack the playoff rotation, which I like. And I do think he'll just give them a bounce. Now, you know this, Danny, like
yeah.
A young guy, they've been hearing about this guy for a while. He plays with a ton of energy. He's got TJ Oshie vibes. He's an American kid. I think it's just going to give them like a shot in the arm, figuratively, that they really, really need right now after 3 losses.
They could use a jolt, and that's exactly what this is, right? There's a, when you've heard so much about it for so long, there's like this anticipation that kind of comes with it. Like, in other words, just wait till this happens. Just wait till this happens. The word gets to them. They know. They're not dumb. They've been on cruise control for a little while. Even in some wins, they're so good that they were winning some of these games, getting away with a few bad habits here and there. They're now only 3 points up on Dallas, who's a few points behind Winnipeg for President's Trophy for the best record. That doesn't really matter. But the point is they're not playing their best hockey right now this minute. And that sort of new youthful enthusiasm, they caught a little bit with I'm blanking on his name. The young, super fast guy that came up from Hershey for a few minutes with a Ethan Frank. I kept thinking of Ethan Bear. I'm like, who's Ethan Bear? Ethan Frank. So for a couple of games, as he's flying up and down the ice using his speed, that helped them tremendously, I think. And this is kind of that same deal with the prospect with a much higher ceiling. So to me, this is one of those like very well timed. I hate the cliche, but it's that shot in the arm. It's that injection of life that they could probably use at this point, as the season has been such a grind for them.
I just think that they need a change of pace a little bit. Like just almost, you know, what I would say the equivalent is, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you just decide as a teacher, we're going to go outside and work today. You know what I mean? Just mix it up a little bit. I don't want to work from my house. I work from home every day, hypothetically. I'll go sit at the bar and break out the laptop and try to get something done. To me, it's nothing major. It's just, if the attention is on something else, if the storyline shifts into something fun and positive. I also just think there is a exuberance. There is a youthful exuberance that can be really, really fun when somebody debuts. We've seen it for the Nats with guys like James Wood and Dylan Cruz and some of these other guys when they've come up. On an altcast I did this season, this is a couple of months back, Craig Button, who is an NHL hockey analyst for TSN, played the National Hockey League, you know, family of executives, studies the game, and is an expert on prospects outside of the NHL. He was talking to us at that time about Ryan Leonard, and this is going back to late December, but it was known at that time that he was probably going to join the Capitals for the playoff push at the end of his college hockey season. He was already off to like a 19-point start in 10 games. This is what Craig Button said at that time.
It's to the NHL. Listen, Ryan Leonard might be the best player outside the NHL. I don't have any problem saying that. He's somebody that can play the game any way you want. You want to play fast, you want to play skilled, you want to play heavy, you want to be play hard. He's got every quality you want. And coming into a Washington Capitals organization where you have Tommy Wilson there, now Ryan Leonard can come in and be himself because he's got Tommy Wilson there that can take on a little bit more of that heavy lifting. And I think Ryan Leonard, the Capitals fans are going to love Ryan Leonard.
And tomorrow's your first chance to start getting a peek.
That's so cool, man.
I always say with these guys, temper the expectations initially. Like what James Wood and Dylan Cruz are eventually going to be. Specifically Wood, who's got a chance to be a superstar, right? Cruz will be a good player. But it's not in the first week. You're not always going to see it right away. There's going to be some flash moments. Maybe Cruz goes yard in his first game or second game like he did. Maybe James Wood does something crazy in his first week. Maybe Leonard gets an assist or somehow scores a goal first couple of games. But you're just looking for the flash bulbs, you know, those moments where you go, damn, that was athletic, or what a dangle, or look at his hands. Mm-hmm. Look how he got back defensively and made a check there. Whatever it was, you're going to see some of that. But if you're a Caps fan, you've been waiting for this for a couple of years.
Yeah, as you said, it's sort of that delayed Christmas gift. It didn't happen last year. He went back to try to win that Frozen Four. Didn't happen. But sorry about that, but I'm glad for us here in D.C. So sorry your college career, your amateur career is over. Why don't you meet the team in Boston and scan them that third line or something?
Going to take a little pressure off Ovi, though, I think.
Yeah.
You know, for a day or two, that is a big story. Like, what has been the biggest story every single day for the Capitals since, I don't know, you know, a couple weeks into the season? It's been Ovi.
It's Ovi.
For one day tomorrow, I think the biggest story as he shows up in Boston, having played at Boston College, is going to be Ryan Leonard. Because it's not very easy right now to push Ovi to the, if he was one goal away, I wouldn't agree to this, but to the back of the page, the sports page, so to speak. But that will be the A topic for the Caps beat tomorrow, the Leonard debut.
That is cool.
And the chase is kind of secondary because he's still five goals away.
Who gets parked?
That's the billion-dollar question.
That's why I asked you.
I could show you like my brother and all my buddies that I talk Caps with. Like we've been arguing about this all day.
Uh-huh.
So there's a couple different things they could do. Does he play center? Does he play wing? Okay, he's a center. I would actually like to see them put him at third line center and just take Lars Eller out of the lineup. Not that I want Lars to not play, but that would be, you've affected the fewest things around everybody. What I think they'll do is, it's a little harder early in your career, play center, setting guys up, the defensive responsibilities. I think they'll put him at wing, and they'll park either Mangiapane or Radish. I would park Mangiapane. I would guess it would be Radish. What I would do is I'd stick with what they've got in the top six with, you know, that's Ovi and Stromer and Protas and Willie and Luc Dubois. And, you know, the last couple days it's kind of shifted
Mavillier
around.
Has been up there.
Mavillier was there in a pinch, just kind of, oh, by the way. But McMichael's really the guy in the top six. So Mavillier has to stay in the lineup for me. I would have him, Dowd, and Duhaime probably on the fourth line. And then it's a matter of who gets a sweater on the third line. And it's four guys, Mangiapane, Eller, Radish, and the kid, Leonard. And depending center or wing, you got to draw somebody out. But I think for me, it would come down to either 88 Mangiapane or 16 Radish. And I would sit Mangiapane.
But you're basically, yeah. To me, do you know if he's more comfortable on the left or the right? Or do we even care at this point?
I mean, he's played center so much that I can't answer that, really.
And I can't either.
Probably. It depends on if they want to base it off of a stick. But again, how much do you want to affect other things? It might be a get in where you fit in, kid.
And that's kind of, and this
like,
is where I was going.
You're the best team in the NHL.
And this is where I was going. It's a, like, if it's simplest for him, but my priority may not be him right now for a Stanley Cup contender.
Right.
You know what it may be?
No,
like,
it's a, can you give me, I'm just making this up, but like 9 really good minutes a night. Here's how I'm going to use you.
Yeah, I want 12 minutes of hair on fire, please. How am I best doing that with that fits in kind of what we're looking for with the team?
But this can be fun. We will get our first chance to see him tomorrow night in Boston. Storybook, just a Boston college, you know, grew up in America here and getting a debut there is about as good as it gets. We should also mention really quickly, we're going to have a Caps watch on Friday night, a Grant and Danny field trip, 2 to 6:30. We are going to be broadcasting live ahead of the game over at City Tap Kitchen and Bar on April 4th. Coming this week on Friday afternoon, this is ahead of the Friday night game the Caps are playing at home. So we're going to be right near Capital One Arena in Penn Corner at City Tap House coming up on Friday, 2 to 6:30. Come hang out with us as you're getting ready to go over to the building.
I've heard very good things about that spot, by the way. I have not been. I will be there on Friday with you, hanging out with you guys.
Chris Knocke calls Maryland basketball games. We will ask him what's next for the Terps on Grant and Danny in a moment.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.